We are actually approaching the end, the tail end of Shar Aleph in the Nefesh HaChayim, and wanted to actually share with you a vart that I saw last night in a sefer called the Beis David. The Beis David was written by Rav David Tabil, better known as the Nachlas David, based on his sefer he wrote on Shas, and he was one of the Talmidim of Rav Chaim. And the whole sefer is full of concepts that overlap with the Nefesh HaChayim. But it's an incredible sefer. And he says over there, great vart, that I think, you know, just brings out part of the concept we've been saying. So we've been saying that really, really, every time we do a mitzvah, there's really two systems in which we are making significant improvements. One system is our neshama, our personal neshama, which that tikkun to our neshama is elevating our neshama and in turn bringing that or into Olam Haba, and we're going to end up celebrating and benefiting from the or that we create in Olam Haba. In addition to that, we're also adding kedusha to the olamos, and that kedusha, we said, like it boomerangs, right? It goes up the ladder and then back down, olam v'yardimbo, right, that it goes up the ladder, you know, the hashpa that we do with our mitzvahs goes up the ladder, and then it brings back down the shefa, right? It brings back down the shefa. He says, this is why it's possible to find a musig. It's possible to find the concept of tzaddik viralo, because what could happen is that the tzaddik, like the Gemara says by Rav Chanina ben Dosa, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, it says, kol olam kuloi, kol olam kuloi nizon b'shvil Chanina b'ni, v'Chanina b'ni daila b'kaf charuvim erev Shabbos erev Shabbos, that the whole world was nizon and got food in the schos of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. So what does that mean? They got the schos in the food in the schos of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. And if they did get the schos, the food in the schos of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, why didn't he get any of the food? And the answer is because in this boomerang effect, the hashpa that a person does to his ma'asim go up, and then it comes down to the whole world. Lav dafka to him only, specifically. So he says, the schar that we get in Olam Haba, that will not be shared with anybody. That will be our own, everyone gets their own schus in Olam Haba. But the schar that we get in Olam Hazeh for our mitzvos, that's based on the boomerang effect that we accomplished, right? So we throw it up, we throw up and we make the tikkunim in the world based on our actions. And then that allows the faucet to open and outcome. But when it pours down the faucet, it pours on everybody. And sometimes Hashem will say, you know what, they need it more than you. So the fact that you were gorem, you were the cause for the faucet to open, is a schos for you to probably get it. But it's not necessarily that way. And other people can also get it. And therefore,
so that's... that everyone gets it except the person who deserves it?
So not deserves it, the person who made it happen.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That could happen in this system. Because the idea, that's what happened with Abchanina ben Dosa. The Abchanina ben Dosa, he said, Hashem said, I don't think that you need the extra stuff. You're okay with whatever you have, but the rest of the world needs your schus in order to be able to survive. So Hashem kind of rechannels the hashpa that came up and says, okay, now I have an opportunity to mashpi on the world. I'm going to use that opportunity in your schus. We're going to mashpi the world, but we're going to redirect the hashpa this way or that way. And that's kind of the way that it could work. Okay? That's the chiddush that he says in the sefer Beis David, okay? Now, in the next two chapters, which are chapter 21 and 22, which wrap up the first shahr, okay, he starts off with a little side point about learning Torah Lishma, and said that the learning of Torah is like a mikvah, okay? It says the learning of Torah is like a mikvah. In what sense is the learning of Torah like a mikvah? He says, because it is a Gemara in Brachos, that the Gemara says, Loma nismechu oyhalim l'nechalim. Why is oyal compared to a nachal? What's the similarity between a tent and a river? He says, ma nechalim, just like a river, ma'al inesad mitum latar. If you jump in a river, then you become tar. So too, if you jump into an oyal of Torah, you also become tar. The Torah is matire the person. So he says, in what way? And he's saying the same thing that we just talked about, that the Asik and Torah can rejuvenate our neshama because it purifies the neshama, and involvement in learning of Torah can provide a tahara similar to that of a mikvah. That's what he says. But he says, if we're gonna use it the same way as a mikvah, then we gotta do it the way a mikvah does it. Which is number one, you can't go in with any chatzitza. You can't go in with a separation. The mikvah doesn't work if you're wearing clothes, right? You gotta jump in. You can't have divisions. You gotta be willing to fully jump in. Number two is he says you have to fully jump in. If you jump into the mikvah, but you one finger's outside, don't work. You gotta be fully in the oval of Torah, and then it's Matariu. And he says, what's the remnant to this? The remnant to this is that the Gemara says that a mikvah is 40 saw. That's a measurement, a volume, right? But the way you come up with that volume is ama al ama, birum ama, birum shalosh amas, that it's a square ama, but it's three amas tall. So it's three cubic amas. Right, it's one amma by three ammas tall, right? She said, why three ammas tall? Because it's got to be metahir, your entire spiritual being, which is your nefesh, ruach, and neshama, all three elements of your neshama. So you need three ammas to metahir all three elements of your nefesh, ruach, and neshama, that by immersing oneself into the Tarhina Rambam Tahara. It's on the second chapter of Rambam, Tahara. So There's a great Rambam that also says this. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Mikvos, thank you. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Mikvos echoes this idea of the Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And he says like this. He says that we understand that Tumah and Tahara is not a physical dirt or something, a physical way that we're not clean, obviously, right? However, there's a remnant to this. And he says like this, there is a remez. Maybe I could pull it up and we'll read it together because it really echoes the idea that I'm saying here is this Rambam. Let me just bring it up here. That's gonna be the best way to do this. Hold on. It's right here. Immersion pool. Okay, I got it. Okay. Here we go. Okay, here's the Rambam. So I'm going to share the screen and we will learn the Rambam together. Okay, the Rambam says, Dover Borer Vigoli. It's clear. Let's start from here. Avapi came, Remez Yesh Badover. The whole concept of Tahara brings us a Remez. Nevertheless, there's some ethical allusion to this. Just as one who sets his mind on becoming clean becomes clean as soon as he immersed himself, right? Just like once you want to become tar, you go to the mikvah, you become tar. Okay? Kach ha-mechaven liboy letar nafshoy mitumas ha-nefoshos. Let's say you want to become tar from those things which made your nefoshos tummy. Shein machshavoy sa'ovam v'deyo eserois. Bad concepts, bad ideas, averus in your mind. Ki v'n sheheskin b'liboy lefresh me'esonait. So once you decide in your heart, you're not going to do it anymore. The beautiful Loshin says, v'hevi nafshoy b'mei hadas. And you immerse your mind in the water of understanding, which is Torah, tar, you become tar. I love that lashon. One who sets his mind on purifying himself from all the spiritual defilements, namely wrongful thoughts, becomes clean as soon as he made up his mind to abstain from those notions and brought his soul into the waters of reason. Mei hadas. Into the Torah, so that, like it says, I will pour clean water over you, and I will be clean, and you will be clean from your impurity. So the idea is that the Torah serves as a mikvah for our neshamas. That's what the Rambam says, okay, and that's what he's saying here as well. You have to do this, okay. Now, starting from now to the end of the Shahr, the Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to deal with a very fundamental question, okay? And the question is the following, okay? This entire conversation can lead to a very troubling conclusion, okay? The troubling conclusion could be the following logic. One could say, well, look, the point of this whole thing is to make tikkunim and to improve the world and to improve the planet and all that. Now, I have feelings, this guy could say, that I'll do a lot better things for the world if I don't do the mitzvah right now. Okay? By me doing a mitzvah right now, maybe it's not going to be the best thing for the world. Right? For example, right? I want to go to shul. You know what tikkunim you make in the world with going to shul on Shabbos? So I have to drive. Okay, you got to drive there. You got to do what you got to do. But it's worth it because, you know, look, you imagine the tikkunim I make in the world by getting to shul for the minyan? No, unbelievable, right? And a person could start like making their own sorts of calculations with their tikkunim and what they're accomplishing and all this stuff. So now, Reb Chaim has to temper this entire concept and scale it back now. Because now that I'm telling you that we're so empowered and we have the key, so we got to get a good locksmith to tell us which key is it that fits. Because otherwise everyone's going to make up their own keys now. Okay, and not only that, the person could even have a precedent for this conclusion. And you know what his precedent will be? This week's parsha, or whatever, these parshas that we learned. It says that the Avos kept the whole Torah before the Torah was given, right? The Avos kept the whole Torah before it was given, yet Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So why did they keep the Torah before it was given? Because they understood, says Reb Chaim, they understood that the tikkunim that need to accomplish, they so much understood the structure that we've been describing for the last couple of weeks about the world and how the world was created. The others were in touch with that way the world was created, like this. They saw these worlds like it was like, you know, TV channels. Like they saw this stuff clear, right? Going down, okay, Atzilus, Bria, you know, scrolling down. This stuff was like, they see it on their screen. Okay, so they're like, they get this whole thing. And they say, well, for me to accomplish in the world of Atzilus and the Shurish and the Shama, I've got to go ahead and do the Torah. Because when you put on tefillin, I don't care, it doesn't say it in the Chumash, but I know that tefillin makes this tikkun. So that's how they knew how to do the mitzvahs, right? Because they saw the locks. They could see what key you need. And that's it. The whole thing was chick-chock. They figured out how to do the mitzvahs. But he also knew that in order to make a tikkun, in this particular instance, he needed to marry two sisters. Because he knew that in order to make the tikkun of making the shvatim, he needed to marry two sisters. So one second. So that now opens the door. I'm a smart guy. I spent a couple of weeks learning some Kabbalah. And, you know, I get this. I get the system. And I think right now it's a very good move for me to, as a matter of fact, the world is in desperate need for somebody to, you know, make a certain specific type of tikkun. And I think I could accomplish that. The only thing is, in order to do that, I need to, like I said with Shabbosai Tzvi, I need to eat chaylev. You know, he ate chaylev. He ate not kosher parts of animals. Because he had a chaylev. So, okay. So, you know, because the world requires that, et cetera, right? So this is dangerous territory now, right? Obviously. So Mamela, Reb Chaim is going to do now, in the next two chapters, he's going to scale this back. He's going to explain to us why did the Avos know that it was correct to do what they did? And yet, the fact that they did it has nothing to do with us. And therefore, by us, the way we're going to do it is by following word for word what the halacha says. Okay, so this is going to be what the next two chapters will discuss, is why is it so important for us to not get carried away with all this. It's important to know it and be aware of it because we feel empowered and strong, but at the same time to know that at the end of the day, the way we're going to be powerful and strong is by following the letter of the law to the highest degree possible. And even though the Avos were able on their level to do what they did, that's not going to apply to us, okay? So with that, we will wrap up the first Shaar next week, Be'ezras Hashem. All right, everybody? And then into Shaar Beis, which is like a whole new concept, okay?
Thank you, Rabbi. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. We will see you all.
Shabbat Shalom,
Rabbi.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shana Tova, Rabbi. Shana Tova.
Yeah.